Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Woo! Here we are again. And oh, it's so good to be back in this chair in front of this microphone, live again here in the studio. With me is my amazing, famous, hardworking, very, very diligent and overeducated Dr. Angel Falzoni. Good evening, doctor.
Good evening, Mama Mac. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. It's just been a very, very busy day, and I think you've had one of those too.
Uh-huh.
And I've just run all day long, and then I got stuck behind some cars and traffic, and that's not fun, but I'm here. And we're on time.
And we are on time.
And I know we're live.
It's getting that time of year. We're going to have to leave more time to get places.
We are. So if you want to get involved with tonight's show, you can. We'd love to hear from you. 727-441-3000 is our call-in number during the show. 727-441-3000. For our friends who listen to the show on the weekends as a rerun on Starcom Radio Network.com. How many words is that?
Four words.
Oh, four. That's right. Starcom. How many, Bobby?
Yeah, she was right.
Four, right?
Four, yeah.
Starcom Radio Network.com. Right at noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, this show will replay. You can text us instead of calling live with your questions. They come straight to my phone. And, of course, I'll push them right over to Dr. Angel. And those questions are and that number is 727-888-4171. That's our Google text number that comes directly to my phone. Write it down someplace. You may need to reach us sometime. 727-888-4171. And then, of course, we have the email. The email is interesting because we are tonight having a show from questions and answers. We got the answers. You got the answers. The questions that have been submitted in various ways, some through email, some through your colleagues, some through seminars that you teach like you just did this week in Melbourne, some through various other ways. And then it is your job, Dr. Angel, to sort through myriads of questions and find the ones that you think will be most interesting for a show, correct?
Absolutely. And that's quite a task. I just want to let you know.
And they're always interesting. And we try to do one of these shows every 3 months or so. And most people really enjoy them. The topics are varied, so we don't have a theme, a particular theme tonight. We have all kinds of things we're going to talk about. And we're going to kick that right off. So to remember, if you have a question during one of these discussions, you may call in 727-441-3000, or you can text my phone, 727-888-4171. Question number one, Dr. Angel, who, by the way, I said she was famous and all that, and she is, and very, very educated, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. I like to say that for a reason, Dr. Angel, is because we're not just sitting here talking from, you know, hot air. You know, this is experience. This is education. This is time counseling for many years for both of us. This is time you know, in the trenches relating to people, isn't it?
It is. And it's really been a lifelong endeavor for both of us.
It has.
We come compiled with all kinds of experience and education and research
exactly.
and all kinds of background. And I think it makes the show, we can better relate with our audience because we can handle some of those tough topics
right.
because we're in that nitty gritty dirt of life every day.
We are. And, you know, I think the word is authentic, too. So, you know, we do our best to be authentic and tell it like we see it and not mince words and be very, very honest.
As honest as we can be. Absolutely.
So with this first question, I expect you to be all of that and more. Here it is. Question number one. I recently retired from my career after working for 32 years. I had always envisioned my retirement as an opportunity to finally get to do the things I want in life. I spent my life working to earn money, to give my wife and children all the things they wanted and needed. I believe I was a good provider for my family. I envisioned retirement as a time in which my wife and I could travel at will. I could take up some hobbies I had never had time for. I could play golf with my friends. All of that. Instead of enjoying retirement, I have never felt more lonely in life. My wife recently was diagnosed with cancer, and all my free time is spent running her to the doctors for medical treatments and caring for her. Friends don't call anymore. My wife is too sick to travel. My adult children are busy with their lives, and I feel guilty for feeling sad and lonely while my wife is literally fighting for her life. How do I quit feeling this way? My heart is breaking for this gentleman.
My heart absolutely broke when I read this. In fact, I shed some tears because, wow. This is a very heavy question.
It's
and
very,
you know,
and real.
Super real. Super authentic to be able to.
Authentic.
And from a man to be able
right.
to pour it out. So
I
honestly,
think it's great. Yeah.
Really lets me know that, whoo, this is really challenging. And there's so
yes.
much to this.
Yes.
First of all, you know, when you were working and we do make sacrifices
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times I notice especially men, but women do it too. We'll make that sacrifice with, I have retirement. I can do these things, you know, later
exactly.
on in my life and later on in my life. And then sometimes when we get to that later on in life, life kind of throws us some curveballs and all
Absolutely.
The stuff we've been waiting to do, we can't.
Right.
And it's a loss.
Yeah.
Something we've been thinking about for decades and decades and decades. And a lot of people I'll talk to will have lists of things that these are what I'm going to, you know, those bucket lists are sometimes those things I need to do when I have time. Retirement
Exactly.
is that freedom of time and, you know, money and all those things that we work so hard to get to. It's kind of like the icing on the cake, you know? You
Very
know, if
true.
I served a cake without icing, well, some people would eat it because they like cake, but some people would be really upset
yeah,
with us,
like
you know?
Icing.
And so there's a lot of loss right here.
Right.
There's a lot of grief happening.
Yes.
I mean,
sad.
It's hard to care for somebody.
Yeah.
It's hard to see somebody you love in failing health.
Right.
It's hard to take the burden of all the care.
Right.
It's it's physically and emotionally and mentally exhausting. And it feels like to me that there's some guilt for feeling lonely.
Yes.
You know,
oh,
sometimes
yeah, I hear
when we
that
get a
too.
Medical diagnosis, you know, people gather around and people are still calm. But once it gets really serious, people don't engage as much anymore.
Don't you think that's because they don't know what to say, doctor?
I think it is. And I think it's really hard when someone gets that sick and to
right.
see somebody that you love or you respect or was close to. You don't want to have to let them go. So you kind of pull back so you don't have to see it.
And also, I've noticed administering to a lot of people that are dying, that people, when they get that close to a near, you know, death is approaching, it's very a weird feeling for a lot of people. They realize their own mortality more. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It definitely really makes it real.
Yeah.
And, you know, when this person was at work, there was a support system. He had friends. He
mm-hmm.
had, you know, colleagues or other people he could engage with. And now it feels like he's very isolated, caring for his wife and the friends aren't there. The
right.
buddies aren't there. The everyday, like, break isn't there. He seems like he's falling into some of that guilt, loneliness, which
oh,
are very
yeah.
natural feelings for what he's going through.
Would you advise him to reach out to his adult children more or
I would.
His friends more?
I would definitely advise him to reach out to his adult children. After all, it seems like it is their mother
if
he's been with doing this for this long. I'd also advise him that he needs to get into some support. And there's some great support
yes.
groups. There's hospices in almost every location around the country that will have support groups, not just for when someone's passed, but when you're dealing with that, you know, terminal disease or that really hardcore disease where maybe he can get someone to come in and sit with his wife right. so he could go play golf with a yeah. friend. Yeah. He needs to take those breaks. He's not going to make this if he's not taking breaks. Right. And or just someone that can, you know, help with the grocery shop, or maybe even someone that could be a companion for him or to go talk to other caretaker spouses
right.
who are in the same position.
I know when I was caring for my mother many years ago that just having someone come in for 3 or 4 hours every 2 or 3 days really helped me Absolutely. Be able to leave and go get things done that I needed to do and so forth. So I feel for this guy.
I really feel for him very much. And yeah. I'm going to say you're not an island. And
right.
I think you've been doing a wonderful job.
Right.
But we can't do it alone.
Right.
And so I'm going to encourage you to contact the hospices in your area and to see what support's available and use it. It's
use
okay.
It.
It's a good thing for you to get a break.
It is.
Good. You need that. Your wife will need that. You'll be a better caretaker if you're taking care of you too.
Absolutely.
And it is sad. And you're not going to probably quit feeling that way at first. But as you get into support.
Right. That's when that'll happen, don't you think?
You'll have more positive mm-hmm. experiences and feelings and have some mental and emotional breaks and physical breaks. And those are really important.
Very important. All right. We're going to switch gears drastically here.
Yeah, these questions are all over the map tonight. So.
The second question is, I just found out that my husband has been cheating on me. He disclosed this to me in our marriage counseling session and begged for my forgiveness. I am so angry and mad right now. How dare he ask me to forgive him? I want nothing to do with him. We are in the process of separating, but he keeps telling me he wants us to work it out. All I can think of is this pain that I feel every moment of every day. I talked to some ladies at my Bible study who shared with me that God does not want me to divorce my husband and that I must forgive him. So now I am feeling like my husband hurts me, and not only must I forgive him, but also I cannot divorce him. I can't do this. Do I really have to forgive him and stay in this marriage? Is this really how God works? Whoa, Ooh. That's heavy duty stuff.
This is really heavy duty.
I hope you're listening in there, Bobby. You're very young, so you've got a lot of wisdom right here. You're listening, aren't you? No, these are very good questions.
It sounds like this news was very, very recent. And
yes.
when something like that hits us, it's a bombshell.
Right.
We are in shock and awe.
Right.
All of our systems are just kind of feel like we've been hit by a Mack truck
right.
in 1 second.
Yeah.
Our world has just collided and fallen apart. Now, I don't know if she suspected this, if there was any signs,
but
it sounds yeah. like it was like a bomb went off in
right.
her life.
Right.
Yeah. She has every right to feel hurt. She has every right to feel angry. I mean, cheating, that's a betrayal of trust.
Yes.
And, you know, we're talking about a marriage. That's supposed to be the most intimate part
right.
of trust that we can have with somebody. So it's devastating.
Yes.
It tells me she really loves him to be this devastated.
It does, doesn't it? That's interesting.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
Because if she didn't, I mean, it would be like, okay, she might be upset, but.
Be almost an excuse to get out. But
thinking about it. Right.
right.
It's kind of like, all right, I'm gone. Bye. See you later.
But
it doesn't matter
like
what
that.
Someone says.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, she was reaching for her support, which is a
yeah.
good thing to do.
Right.
We need to have support, especially in crisis. And her support kind of, I think, has given her some judgment.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we have to be careful when we're being support for people because it's not our job to tell somebody what they should or should not do. It's our job to be.
Right.
Just to be. You know, I was training counselors for two days this week down in South Florida. And that was the biggest lesson I talked to them. I'm like, you can have all the therapeutic tools in the book and you
wow.
can have all this knowledge. But if you can't just be with someone.
Right. Right.
You can't do this job
That's
effectively.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, people might not know the words to say. We don't always have to say words.
Right.
So she reached for the support system. They gave her judgment and criticism. So now
right.
we're throwing God guilt. So she
God guilt is even worse.
God guilt, it really stinks.
Yes, it's
because
hard.
God's important to people who
yes.
put God as important. That's a very central figure of people's lives.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
That's something they believe in. And so now I'm devastated. I've been betrayed. I'm hurting.
Right.
I have my life in shambles. And now somebody's trying to tell me God just wants me to sit and wallow and feel this pain and I just got to suck it up.
Yeah.
That is a really horrible place to feel like you're at.
Right.
And so what I'm going to encourage you is this, is that you need to find God for yourself.
Right.
And you need to find what God would want you to do for your life. God will talk to you individually.
Absolutely. Great advice. Great advice.
And be careful with who you tell information to, because there are people that will be critical and judging and they'll project what they think and their beliefs and their. But you know what? It's not about them. It's about you. It's about
That's
your
right.
pain. And I'm just going to tell you, I know it's really, really early. It sounds like this just happened, and I'm going to encourage you that you don't have to stay married to somebody when there's divorce. But I will say that I will encourage you to seek forgiveness.
You mean when there's cheating?
When there's cheating, sorry.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay married when there's cheating. If that's what you choose and that's between you and God and that's the decision you make, there's a freedom of you have to make this choice for yourself.
Sure.
And only you can know what choice you have to make.
Absolutely.
But I will encourage you to say that forgiveness really shouldn't be an option when you get to that point. Right now, you're in devastation. You can't even think about forgiveness.
Right.
But as you go through your grieving process, don't hold up forgiveness. It's not about him. It's not about what he did. It's about setting you free.
Exactly.
Because if you don't seek forgiveness in any relationship, friendship, relationship with your kids, whatever you have to deal with him, if you have kids later on, if you go for another romantic, you'll take that baggage everywhere
That's
you
exactly
go.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you that forgiveness is not about him. It's about you. It's a gift.
It is. And I will direct our listeners to our website, goyard2014.org, where we have most of our shows from the last 2 years. And I know we did a couple shows on forgiveness and holding a grudge, and those shows are there. On our website, goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. Goyard2014.org. Go there, and hopefully that will help in this type of a situation, all that we discussed on forgiveness.
Absolutely, but you're not going to be ready for forgiveness until you go through the grieving. So you just find people who will just be with you right now.
Right.
You don't have to have an answer today.
Exactly.
Just be. Get through this process. Stay in counseling. I really will encourage you to stay in counseling if you find your own counselor or stay with this counselor, but stay having that support and just let yourself grieve it.
Exactly.
And then hold off that decision until you have grieved it, and then you're ready to make it with clarity.
Absolutely. I agree with all that. That's excellent advice. Let's go to question number 3. If you want to weigh in, 727-441-3000, you can call in, ask questions about these situations, or just add your 2 cents. That's okay. Question number 3. I am a direct person, a little sarcastic, and I like to joke around with people. I am having problems dealing with people in my life. It seems like the people I am surrounded by are so passive and easily become offended by me. Then they don't tell me. They just do things like ignore my calls or suddenly become too busy for me. I am not trying to hurt anyone. I feel like I am misunderstood and like maybe I should just fake who I am to quit hurting others. How do I quit offending others while still being the real me? Very interesting question.
This is very interesting. Because we don't want to fake who we are.
No.
We need to be our authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And if
there's
we have
that
to
word
change,
again.
It, authenticity, you know, it's one of my core things, you know. We can't change who we are for other people, but in the same token, we can help people understand who we are.
Right.
It sounds like there's a lot of misunderstandings.
Yes.
And maybe this person has works with people who are kind of more like in the box. There's a lot of people who just kind of have this box view of how we should respond or react
mm-hmm.
or, you know, present ourselves. And this person sounds like they're out of the box.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like they have a vicious heart or they're malicious in any way. And so sometimes it doesn't sound like the friends are going to come forward with what's going on or whoever is in this person's
right.
life because they're passive and they're kind of avoiding it. So, well, I'm offended. I'm not going to tell you why I'm offended, but I'm just going to not take your call.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay away from you.
That's a frustrating place to be. And really that just shows me that those relationships aren't super healthy and there's a lot of communication stuff going on.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm going to challenge you to pick one of those friendships that's the most meaningful to you, because we'll start with one. Whoever's the most meaningful, and sit down and bring it up. And you know what? You said you're direct, so this should be easy for you to say, you know what? I am feeling like I'm offending you, and I'm not wanting to. Can you help me? How do I offend you?
Yes.
What do I do? And communicate about that.
Yeah, that's good.
And give them the opportunity in a safe way to, if they are able, if they're not too passive, to put some words to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe there's a topic that you talk about that's offending them and they don't realize it.
Right.
Or maybe they just don't realize that that's not what your goal is. Because some people, they get real rigid and they get really offended. And
right.
This generation is offended by everything anymore.
It seems like it, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, it is unbelievable.
Yeah. It's interesting that she says here, or he says here, I just assumed it was she, but it doesn't say, it seems like the people I'm surrounded by are so passive and easily become offended by me. Then they don't tell me. They just do things like ignore, suddenly become too busy. So I find it interesting that she or he thinks they're passive. You want to comment on that?
Well, that behavior is pretty passive.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm offended and an active person would put some words to that, like, oh, right. I'm feeling offended, or this hurt my feelings, or, you know, something like that. A passive person would, you know, they're offended, they're going to take it inside, and exactly. Then they're going to make some kind of reaction and not have to deal with you, but they're not going to tell you why. So that is pretty passive. Kind of passive aggressive in a little bit of a way, you right. know, some of that stuff. So that's why I'm going to challenge you to take one person.
Right.
Have that conversation. And have that conversation without sarcasm.
Right. Good idea.
Have that conversation without joking around.
Make Be real.
This Be a real. Serious
yes.
conversation.
Right.
So that you can kind of get to the heart of what is the offending with this person.
Right.
And maybe it's just they need to hear you that's not what you're trying to do. And right. they're just misunderstanding your humor or your joking. Sometimes people who have things like OCD,
right,
they don't understand humor at all, and they can become very quickly offended. And you're just like, wait, we're just playing. It doesn't have to be directed at them. They just right. don't get humor
they don't get
sometimes.
It.
And so sometimes people get rigid and they don't get it, and they get too serious. And so they take it serious, and they're thinking, oh, well, you're just, you know, laughing this off or discounting right. this. And what do you mean? This is kind of important. And so having that conversation and then working
great.
On it. But be you, no matter what you do. And if you can't be you with the people around, find people that you can just
that
be you.
That you can be you. That's right.
Because don't fake anything.
Well, you used a common phrase here that we used again last week. Use your words. You're saying don't just bottle this up on the inside of you, right?
No.
Instead, you're saying confront it, discuss it. Not in a hostile way, but in a I want to understand way. Right?
Absolutely.
And last week was our second anniversary show for this show, Go Yard. And the very first point we made five big points last week. And the first one was use your words, learn to use your words. So if you did not catch that show, it was really an excellent, one of our best shows last week. It's up on the podcast here already, www.tantalk1340.com. Go to Go Yard and you can catch up on that show and a lot of shows. Okay, great advice, Dr. Angel. We're only through three of these. That's all right. It's time for us some music. Let's do it.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Tomorrow, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Oh, wow. You and Bobby picked two great songs. I love both of them. You know, yeah, keep that playing a second. I just want to say something about our ads there. I'm the realtor that I use the ad every week. That's me. No surprise for most people, Marcia McAllister. Feel free to call me if you do want your any real estate help in any area, buying or selling. And Megan Kramer is one of our radio contributors on our Sunday show. And she has a tremendous business there with Plexus Products. And they are doing very well for a lot of people. So check her out. And she gave her email address on the show. You can go back on one of our shows and catch that. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it's My Plexus Products. I don't know. You want to. I should have written it
you
down.
You know what, Mama Mac? I'm just, while you're talking about it, I'm just going to let you know. I was really sick in the May and June, and I had to go through all that. And I started on the Plexus. And I will tell you what, I have not felt more energy. My stomach has cleared up amazingly, and like
fantastic.
It has been an amazing adventure journey for me, just in my own personal health. I'm kickboxing now. I'm running now. Like, I couldn't do that before because
right.
It just wasn't happening. And so
no, I hear really good reports on it. Maybe I should discover it myself. But I'll tell you what, Megan is doing very well. She's a mother of two, actually three. One's in heaven, up in Indiana, and a part of our radio team. And so check out her Plexus business because there are good reports. Thank you for that testimonial. That's great. We are on a Q&A show tonight here on Go Yard. Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac. That's my other name. That other name I told you. Yeah, that's it too. All right. So now we are ready for question number four. Here we go. I grew up in a military family and we moved around a lot. This was really hard on me because it always felt like I had to start over. New schools, new friends, new cities, and even new countries. We recently moved back to the U.S. after spending 3 years in Germany. In Germany, I had my friends, was preparing to graduate from high school, and was even allowed to drink. The drinking age is 16. Whoa. Seriously? Wow. Now we live in the U.S., and instead of graduating, I have to do another year of high school because of the credit differences. I have no friends. I lost many freedoms. I know my family is happy, but I am miserable. What can I do to handle all these changes better?
Well, this is a doozy.
This is a good question.
It is really hard once somebody has had freedom to take it back away.
Right.
That is really challenging to deal with. It's really challenging to think you're at the end of a journey, graduating high school. That's like this milestone. And to come and find out now you
gotta
have to add another year.
Got to do more.
So these are real things that can feel frustrating. It's a total change of life. It really is.
You know, I can relate to this because my parents were missionaries. I was growing up, and we came back to the States from Guatemala when I was 15, almost 16. And I went into my sophomore year of high school and not even been in that culture in the States for several years. And it was very difficult for me as going into as my sophomore year, and it was hard just everybody speaking English, let alone just all the cultural changes. I can relate to this. This is hard. This is something the family needs to wrap their arms around and help this student.
Absolutely.
Because my family, my grandparents lived half a block away. They helped me through it, and it got better after a few months. But it was, I admit, it was very hard for me as a 16-year-old coming back into this culture.
Oh, I can absolutely agree. And I agree with you on that, too, because, you know, I think it sounds like this person's afraid to let their family know
what
they're feeling because they're happy. The family seems happy. But you know what? Change is hard.
Change is hard.
And it sounds like you really got the brunt of a lot of these changes because you're talking about teenagers. It's already hard to make friends, let alone having to move and make new friends.
And I agree.
And 3 years in one place during high school is a very
long time.
Significant period of time. That's a hard move. And I would definitely encourage you to talk about your feelings with your friends.
Yes.
I mean, with your family. Is that going to mean that you get to graduate when you thought you were? Probably not. There are, you know, things that you have to do, and it is frustrating. I get it. And some of it's going to just have to be the way it is because it is, you know, we're not drinking U.S. till you're 21, and that's just what the laws are. But maybe there are different freedoms you can have. And maybe, you know, being in the United States, you will have other opportunities you didn't get.
Exactly.
And instead of feeling everything, you know, we can grieve that loss. And instead of just focusing, I lost all of this, you know, internet, we can stay connected with friends across seas.
Now,
Very much easier than
for me at that age. That wasn't possible. It was letters, actually writing letters, you know.
But today's culture, I mean, they can, you know, video chat and phone chat and, you know, all the social medias, and it doesn't matter really where in the world you live as long as you have online access. So there's a lot of ways exactly to stay right in communication.
And you don't want to separate yourself from those old friends because they can be some of the best friends of your entire life, you know, that you had all these memories with. So don't just let them go. Just try to begin, I think, to add some more to your circle
add
of friends.
Add some more. And, you know, and I can understand how difficult this is. So I'm really going to challenge you to share your feelings with your family. And they need to know. And then this needs to be something that we wrap around as a family.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. That's a good question. And I can feel the pain there because I went through it. And that always helps. When you've gone through it, you kind of get an idea of what it's all about. Wow. You know, Dr. Angel, it's really good to be able to discuss these things in a way that you have answers. You know, we have some suggestions, not answers. Maybe that's not the right word, but suggestions, ways to help these people cope with these intense things, because not one of these questions can be taken lightly.
No, no. And you know what? And I think a lot of times when we have some of these deep, heartfelt questions, and I really feel like these questions are really real,
right,
and kind of in the grind, more so than maybe some of our previous shows that we've done with question and answers. There's guilt about having some feelings that people are having, and maybe some shame about having those feelings. But the thing is the feelings are real.
Yes.
And you know what? There are really valid reasons to feel the way you're feeling. You've had difficult experiences moving, finding out someone's cheating on you, dealing with a spouse who's, you know,
these are really real life crisis situations.
Tons of feelings with this stuff, and it's okay to have them. Whatever
it's okay
they
to
are.
Own them, right?
Yes, own those. Don't deny
own them. Don't deny them. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And we want to point out one more time, these are real questions from real listeners, okay? We're not sitting around, oh, let's write up a question. It doesn't work like that. No. So we want you to know that these people are out there in radio land going through these experiences, and there's a lot of you out there that probably have some intense things going on, and you would like to get an answer from Dr. Angel, who is very, very qualified, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. And so just, you know, jot down this email address, and when you feel like it, send the email. It is goyard2014@gmail.com. And it's easy to remember, 2014 was the year we started this show, 2 years ago. So goyard2014@gmail.com. That's where you can email the questions. And I say email because everything on this sheet is very long here.
You know, I edited. A lot of them were longer. There was a lot of editing.
So, you know, it's texting. You could text, but it takes a lot. The text number, again, is 727-888-4171. Now we are ready for question number 5. I have listened to your show for a few months now, and I really love the premise of starting things and having control of my life, making goals, and taking action. I have even done several of the homework assignments from your show. Yes, Dr. Angel, you do give homework from time to time, don't you?
Because if we just listen and we don't put anything into practice, it's not going to help us change our lives.
Boy, it does my heart good to know that we have at least one listener.
One person's doing it.
One person here. Bobby, we have one. We have a live person.
A live person.
Who's doing the homework that Dr. Angel gives out. I bet you are too, though. I'm sure you are.
And it's homework.
Doing homework.
I'm sure you're doing it too. Every time Dr. Angel gives an assignment, I'm sure you are.
Say what?
Yes.
I know. But I'm just saying that because I know you and you're that kind of person. So anyway, let's go on. We digress. My problem is that I can see something I need to change. I can make a plan to start changing something, but I just can't seem to start things. Okay. So the person sees the problem.
Can make a plan,
but never get started.
No walking feet on that.
I have always struggled with starting tasks, getting the wheels rolling. I love the honesty here. I guess this is why I have avoided doing so many things in my life. It seems like I get really motivated to start something, but then something happens. I get too tired, other obligations take priority, or I don't know how to start, and so I don't. Can you give me some tools that can help me start putting things into action? I love this question.
I love this question,
too. This relates to most of us in life, don't you think? We have great intentions. We really desire to make a change, whatever it might be. We see the benefits of the change. We make a plan.
So what I'm going to let you know, first of all, listener, is that you really have started action.
Okay.
Because as soon as you start examining something, that is an action.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
That really is an action. When you make a plan, that is action number two.
Okay.
So you can make some actions. You're making action one and action two. It's the action three that
where
is where you're getting stuff.
Is.
So struggling to put things and get started. You're getting started. You're started.
Right. Okay.
You're listening to the show.
Right.
You're doing the homework.
Right.
You're self-examining. You're making a plan. That is action.
Wow. That's a lot of positive things that
there
this
is
person
success.
Is already doing.
They just don't see it as that success. They
because
see where I'm stuck.
Yeah, they're frustrated because they can't seem to get off of that one last place right there.
You're on a little plateau. And you know what? And you're at the last real part of making those changes in your life. So you are like climbing up and you're kind of on a little plateau. So we want to help tip you over a little bit. Realize you're taking action, first of all. There is success in what you're doing.
Okay.
You're making a commitment.
There you go.
And that is amazing because a lot of people don't get that far.
Exactly.
And so you've come really far. And so putting those first steps, seems like there's some things that happen. One, they said, let's see here, I get too tired.
Yeah.
So we get physically exhausted. Other obligations take priority. Life happens. And or I just don't know what to do to start. Okay, well,
right.
You are starting.
Right.
So you just don't know what to do to keep it going
keep
is
it
what
going.
I hear you saying to me. So how can we overcome that? There's a few things we can do. What do you think, Mama?
Well, I've just tell you how I've had this problem in life.
Okay.
Because part of it is I'm overcommitted, you know, which is okay. I've got a lot going on. But I have found that accountability for myself and rewarding myself are really, really good tools to get me off of the starting block. I'm losing weight right now, so I've got a little app on my phone, MyFitnessPal, you know. It's great. I go in there and log the food I eat, and it calculates the calories and all that. And it's easy. It's easy, you know. It's something I can do and see a result, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's that reward. I think we need to learn to reward ourselves when we do get off the starting block. I mean, think of the swimmers and the athletes in the Olympics, you know, they're up there ready to jump in the water. What if they just never jump? What if they've prepared, they've worked out, they've, you know, all that, and they're up there, they're ready, and the gun goes off, and they freeze.
And that's kind of where this person is.
That's
exactly.
That's the way I see it, exactly.
I love that. It was a great metaphor there.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where it's at, and we freeze. But you are prepared to handle the next step.
Right.
So what can you do? Well, find an accountability. That's a really good way. And some things there can be great apps to help us with that.
Right.
Kind of love the technology. It's this double-edged sword. But there are some cool apps.
There are some.
Making like a list of like some things you want. You know, you said you have a goal. You made a plan. So write that plan down.
Right. Put
when
it in
we write
writing.
Something down,
yes.
It's more willing to have
I
it
agree.
Happen. Hang it up somewhere where you see it.
Right.
Make chunk it into small.
Oh, here we
steps.
Go with chunking.
Chunk.
Again.
I'm a chunker.
Yes, you
because
are.
Because the snowball effect, I think, is where a lot of people stop.
Right.
You know, I have, you know, this much weight to lose, you know, 30 pounds to lose. And that's a lot of overwhelming.
It's too much.
That's overwhelming. So let's just think about what I have to do. What's my next step? What do I have to do next? Not the whole thing.
And
what do I have to do next?
I just love your whole way of thinking when it comes to chunking because it's helped me as we've done this show. I mean, okay, first goal, 5 pounds, you know, or as Weight Watchers says, the first 5% or whatever the case may be, whatever your little chunk is,
mm-hmm.
you know, drop it down into something that's actually doable, right?
Absolutely. So take a larger task and chunk it down a little bit. If you're getting tired, make something that you can do earlier in the morning. So do something for
yeah, there
this.
You go.
First thing in the morning instead of live your day and then mm-hmm. bring it. So give it some of your first energies. If it's 5 or 10 minutes, you don't have to commit this huge amount of time to it. But commit some of your first time in the morning.
Yeah, that's great.
Because
that's
then
great.
Other priorities can't steal it from
right.
you.
Right. I think timing is very important
Tiredness
when it comes.
Can't steal it from you. Right.
Don't you think timing is so important when it comes to completing these
Absolutely.
Kinds of projects?
And when you talk about successful people
right.
and Olympians, you know,
right.
this was Olympic year. I love the Olympics. Their first fruits of the day are working towards, you know, practicing and working out and doing the things they need to do to accomplish their tasks. They aren't, you know, living their day and then, oh, at 3 o'clock, I need to go, you know, to the pool and do my laps today. They're giving it their first energy.
Exactly. Because it's too easy to get into all the other junk going on in the day or good things that are going on in the day, either way, and just get too busy. And
life happens.
Yeah,
it
does.
Always is going to happen. And so, yeah. You know, I even found that out with me. If I'm like, oh, I'm going to run tonight after work, most time I don't get that run in.
Right.
But if I say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow at 6 and go do my run, it happens.
Right.
And so give it your first fruits. Even if you take 3 days a week and just commit 10, 15 minutes to one little part of a chunking task to get this
done. I love it.
You will start moving more forward. You're starting to move forward already. You're just going to take another step.
I love it.
Think of just the next step, not the whole task.
Excellent. Love it. Okay, let's move on. Next question. Number 6, I am a single mother of 2 children and I work full time. I recently started a romantic relationship with a coworker. We have really hit it off well. Ooh, with the coworker. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, I haven't read the rest of this one yet, so we'll see what happens. I have even let him around my children, the first person I have let around my children since the divorce. We are supportive at work and personally, and for the first time and a while, I feel alive again. The problem is when I see him talk to other coworkers, I start feeling paranoid or jealous. Ooh. When he talks to other guys at work, I feel he's talking about me. Telling of our bedroom secrets. Mm. When he talks to female coworkers, I wonder if he is flirting or hitting on them. This is driving me crazy, and I hate feeling this way. The nature of our jobs is social, and we are both talking to customers and coworkers all of the time. I have never been the jealous or paranoid type with previous relationships. I don't want to lose him because of my crazy feelings. How can I make these feelings stop?
Woo.
Wow.
There's a lot going on in this question.
Yeah, this question's full of all kinds of problems.
Ooh, there's a lot going on. Yes. Well, first of all, kind of what I see is that you have unfinished business from your divorce.
How do you see that, doctor? Where did you see that?
Well, when you haven't had paranoid or jealous feelings in previous relationships, and all of a sudden you're having them, and we have a divorce in there, that tells me there's unfinished business.
There you go.
And yes, you may be divorced, but emotionally, you might not be emotionally divorced. You might still emotionally be married, or there's unfinished business.
Yes.
And you got to take care of that before we can move forward.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Because you're bringing an unfinished bag into this.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, romantic relationships with coworkers are challenging in and of itself. They bring a lot of issues out to the front.
And really are usually ill-advised.
They really aren't usually the most successful way of...
I know it happens, but you know what? It's hard. It's hard.
They are hard. And so, you know, having those feelings, what you're doing is you're projecting your unfinished business and, okay, he's telling everything that we're doing, or he's trying to pick up someone else. So either you don't trust him or you do.
Right.
Which is it? And it's telling me is that you have the unfinished business from your marriage.
That's very intuitive.
And it is definitely impacting your ability to move forward in your life.
Absolutely.
And it will. And this. And it's not just about the coworker. I think if you were with any romantic relationship, you're going to still feel some of the same crazy feelings going on. It feels crazy because it's foreign to you. It's not something you've really experienced before. Mm. So why now? Well,
wow.
Why now? So I'm going to encourage you to go work on some unfinished business. Am I saying you can't date your coworker? I'm not. I'm going to tell you, go finish your own business, unfinished business before moving really far. And if this is a relationship that's going to last, it's not going to last if you're feeling like this because you're going to start acting in it.
That's right.
And you may be passive with the acting, but, you know, it may be, you know, your attitude's negative or a snarky comment or, you know, it's going to sabotage this relationship.
Exactly.
So my biggest advice is, go see a counselor and finish your business from your previous relationship.
Because snarky comments are not good.
No, it's just going to just tear this relationship
I like
away
that word.
Piece by piece.
That's right.
And we don't want to do that.
I think that's excellent advice. And you are the wise, Dr. Angel. Question number 7. My teenage daughter has changed. She used to be so open with me and we would talk about everything. Now she hides in a room, always on her phone or computer. When I ask her how she's doing, I always get the fine answer. She has started wearing more makeup, and I even saw my sexy underwear, oh my gosh, in her bedroom the other day when I was putting away laundry. I want to know what is going on with my daughter. Is she having sex? Who is she always talking to? I know my daughter keeps a diary, and I'm seriously considering going in her room while she is at school and reading her diary. I just need to know what is going on. My husband told me that I can't read her diary, because she should have a right to privacy. I told him, we are the parents, and she doesn't have any rights as long as she lives in our house. Woo. Can you help us settle this dispute? Should a parent read a child's diary when they are concerned for their child? That's the question.
That is a big one. And this is pretty much an age-old question.
I've lived through this one, Dr. Angel.
Yeah?
I've lived through it. Yes, I have. With my daughter many years ago. Mm-hmm.
This is definitely a challenging one. And there's a lot of dynamics going on.
Right.
Because it sounds like this mother, first of all, is sad because the relationship is starting to make that natural teenage turn.
Yeah.
You know, as kids become teenagers, they do start withdrawing from the family more and cleaving towards friends and peer relationships.
Sure.
And that's kind of that natural tendency of growing up and emerging and becoming into adulthood. And it kind of hurts when you're a parent.
Oh, yeah.
Because you miss those times that you had those fun and engaging. And it's like you get the best fun with your kid right before the turn. So that even makes that turn hurt even more.
Yeah.
Because like they're more mature and they can do more and you can talk and you can laugh and then boom. Now it's all about my friends. It's all about being alone and closing off. They hermit.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a boy or girl. Teenagers do that natural cleave. And that is hurtful for a parent.
But I think a lot of ways it's natural because it helps them prepare for college or
adulthood,
the work life or wherever they're going after their high school years or marriage or whatever that might be. It's that natural helping us get ready.
Yeah, it's that starting to leave towards independence.
Right.
And that is totally a natural progression as children go through their developmental process. But we have a secondary issue now. We have daughters' behaviors are kind of a little more peculiar.
Oh, yeah.
And mom's feeling shut out.
Right.
And she's panicking.
And rightly so, because this sounds like some pretty serious stuff going on here.
Does she say how old the daughter is? I don't see an age.
No.
So somewhere in teenage years, she's fine. Yeah. Daughter's snagging mama's sexy underwear. So
I'm thinking she might be young, though. I mean, pretty young.
Somewhere in teenagehood. Yeah. I have no idea, but she's snagging her sexy underwear. So that's a concern.
Oh, gosh, that is. Yeah.
So she's taking stuff without permission. She's always talking and contacting to someone, but who is that someone?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's a natural concern as a parent to wonder if your child is having sex of any, you know, unprotected, protected, whatever, just doing that. I mean, that's a big concern for parents.
It is. And if this parent wasn't concerned, I would be concerned.
Right.
About this parent. Because this tells me this, at least this parent's paying attention.
It does.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times parents are just blinded and all this is going on and they don't know. And so this parent, I think.
Or don't care to know.
Or they don't want to know. Yeah. And so she wants some answers.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to tell her, be careful how we go for answers.
Very good.
Because invading your daughter's diary. Now, I know she's probably trying to protect her. I mean, she could be talking to predators. She could be talking to human traffickers.
Right.
Who knows who she's talking to?
This day and age is so different.
So they're real threats.
Yes,
and
these
she
are
needs
real
to be
threats.
Concerned. And
yes.
So invading a child's privacy to read her diary without her knowing it could sabotage your relationship with her for the rest of your life.
Right.
So we got to be careful. Is it a right? Not a right? That's a parenting thing. It's a cultural thing. And everybody kind of has a different set of beliefs. What I'm going to challenge you to do is start becoming more proactive in phone checks.
Right.
Do it in front of her. Don't do it behind her back. Let her know.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We're going to talk about it. You know what? As you get older, and I know there's a lot of things out there, and talk about some of those dangers. It's okay. Have a family dinner and make her come down. They're going to come out of their caves to eat eventually. They're teenagers.
Right.
And we're going to talk about, you know, we're just going to check your phone. Not because we don't trust you. It's because we want to make sure you're safe. We don't trust the world. And then ask for the phone and start with the phone checks.
That's something you've actually done, right?
Oh, I do phone
checks. With your sons.
I do. And my kids knew as soon as they were given a phone that I can check any moment, any day, any time. But I never go behind their back. I always ask them to hand it to me.
That's interesting. And they always do,
and they
respectfully.
Do. Because I'm not going to, I don't want to invade them or make them feel betrayed or violated. And I feel like, does a child have entitlement to privacy? That is an individual question. But my goal is not to sabotage my relationship. It's to let them know I'm parenting, I'm aware, I'm concerned, and we're watching. So do it in front of them.
Say those things again, because
I
think that you are letting your children know you are aware, you are watching, you are...
I don't remember. It was just...
I know, it just came out, right?
It did, it just came out.
Of course, none of this is scripted, so we never know. Okay, but and that's the message you've sent to your three sons.
I have.
You're aware, and you want to know what's going on, and you want to make sure they're safe. Absolutely. That word comes through our shows a lot. It's all about safety for where our kids are concerned.
Another thing I will challenge you is maybe take your daughter on a date. Mommy-daughter date. Let's talk. Right. You know, I noticed some underwear when I was putting your laundry away.
Yeah, what's that about? Mine.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. Not in a shaming way, but in a way to give her an opportunity to let her know, first of all, you know, and give her an opportunity for that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have those conversations with our teenagers. Yes. And it's hard to do because they're wanting to, you know, cave in their world and bring them out. So take her to her favorite restaurant. You know, have mommy go get your makeup done at the mall with her. Do something special and make it a time that you're carving with her.
Yes.
Build the relationship. Don't go and try and violate her privacy that way. Because if you're built, we continue to invest. It's not going to be what you had. It's going to be different, but you could still build into that relationship.
And as time goes on, it does change. Life changes, and then soon they're adults, and you don't want to burn that bridge.
Well, and here's one of the common problems I find with a lot of parents is they're expecting their kids to get into the parents' world, but that's not how it works. That parent needs to get in that child's world.
There you go.
Because that's how we get to their heart. That's how we build that relationship.
Right.
And so going behind her back and betraying, you may find out all kinds of stuff you're not prepared to know.
Right.
And you may hurt a relationship for the rest of your life.
All right.
But we can build that relationship and still get to that core of what's
going on.
So
you're saying dialogue.
Yes.
Take them out, do something special. Try to create an atmosphere where they can talk to you privately without
recrimination. And let them know you're going to check things.
Yeah.
And let them know why. It's not about I don't trust you. It's about I don't trust what. It's because there's things that aren't safe.
Right.
And let them know. And do it in front of them, not behind their back.
Exactly. I love that advice. Excellent as always from our resident expert, Dr. Angel Falzoni, who we so appreciate here. It is such a joy doing this show with you. Yes, this is the first show of our third year.
It is.
Yes.
Isn't
so
that amazing?
That's very exciting. We've got some new things coming up on Go Yard this year, which we will talk to you about at a later time. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoyed our Q&A show. And we try to do these from time to time. So please send your questions in, goyard2014@gmail.com or text 727-888-4171. And, you know, it's a really good thing to go back and listen to some of our old shows because our website, goyard2014.org, has tons of them there now, 2 years worth. And I hear you say this many times, Doctor, but sometimes the show may not pertain to you, and then next week it does.
Yep, you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Do you have a final comment here, Doctor, to seal all this up that we've just been doing tonight?
Well, I'm just going to say that just keep pressing on and bring in the questions and, you know, build your support system and just take the next step.
Take the next right step,
yeah.
Right? Absolutely. This has been who? Who are you?
Dr. Angel.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac, bringing you Go Yard tonight, where it means it's better to hit a home run in life than strike out. And we're all about helping you hit those home runs. Have a great week. God bless you. We'll see you next week. And check out our website, goyard2014.org.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
On this weary soul, I got a new lease on life. They say you only live once, but I live twice. I got a new lease on life. I got a new lease on life. Lease on life. I got a new lease on life.